talk to you this evening from Matthew 11 and the last two verses, last three verses of that chapter that we read earlier on. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 to 30. It's certainly a great invitation to anyone who would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not only an evangelistic message, it is also a message which I think is important for Christians, perhaps we've been Christians for a long time, to remind ourselves of this amazing, gracious invitation that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us. So let me read those verses to you. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Come to me," he says, "all you who are in labour," or "all you who are weary and are heavy laden," or "burdened" is the word, "and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I think there are a lot of people in our world at this moment who are feeling very weary one way or another. And I want to ask you if you are feeling tired and weary, by which I don't mean simply, are you getting enough sleep? No, I'm talking about a different kind of tiredness, something more deep-rooted. A tiredness that affects our whole attitude to life and brings an emotional exhaustion to everything that we do. There are many things that can lead people into this kind of weariness. For example, boredom can do it. For many people, life is just a tedious routine, the same thing day in and day out, week in and week out. Failure is another root of this kind of weariness. If only I'd taken a different step in my life, everything would be all right. But as it is, I'm doomed to be discontented. I'm now stuck, for example, in this job, etc., etc. Many people are haunted by disappointments like that. They blew their opportunity, and all they've got left is a sense of failure. They look at other people who seem to be more successful, and it makes them feel tired and weary with life. But I think the most common route to this weariness and this emotional kind of exhaustion is simply futility, unbearable futility. What's the point of life? That sense, as Shakespeare put it, that life is a tale told by an idiot, signifying absolutely nothing. We pretend perhaps to other people that we have ambitions and know where we're going, but the truth is there's a great vacuum inside us, a sense of emptiness and meaninglessness. It's a very common experience, I think, today, and it makes people far more miserable than poverty or illness ever could. They feel if they could get out of the rut, they can't be bothered to try. Is it really worth it, they ask. And so funneled down these channels of boredom, failure, futility or whatever, people drag themselves through life feeling discontented, frustrated, weary. Now people react, of course, in different ways to this sense of weariness. Some go in for escapism. It's been popular ever since the Romans experienced it when their culture went stale, very much like ours. They had their games and the arena and amused themselves for a few hours with gladiators killing each other and throwing Christians to the lions. And we do it today. We try to escape with our vast entertainment industry, trying to fill our leisure hours with something that will make us feel as if we are happy, but we know we're not. as the thrill of the latest fantasy films, isn't there? The hypnotic stupor of TV, the growing gambling craze, alcohol, drugs. Those are just a few of the things catering for our escapist needs. But the truth is, we're running away from the reality of a world with which we feel tired and ill at ease. And sadly, of course, there are many casualties of this kind of weariness. That sense of boredom and failure and futility can culminate in psychological illnesses, depressions, anxiety, nervous breakdowns, even suicides. Not everyone, and it's important to say this, of course, not everyone who suffers in that way is the victim of this weariness, but many people are. But I think the even more common response that we find to this sense of weariness in our world today is not so much escapism or even illness, but apathy. In today's use of that word, it means a state of indifference or disillusionment. The ancient Greeks used that word to say, I won't be bothered to do anything. Today, we say, I can't be bothered to do anything. Our society is a sick one and a tired one. John Osborne, the playwright, captured this sense of apathy in our world in the words of one of his characters. He said this, how I long for a little ordinary human enthusiasm. Just enthusiasm, that's all. I want to hear a warm, thrilling voice cry out, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm alive. It's such a long time since I met anyone who got enthusiastic about anything. The motto of vast numbers of people in our world and in our society is simply, I couldn't care less. And that was the literal answer this week of a very prominent member of the Tory party when asked about the possibility of losing her job. I couldn't care less, she said. It's the motto of a tired culture full of tired, weary people. And I want to ask you, does that ring any bells with you? Do you feel that you know what I'm talking about? It's all a little bit vague, I know, but do you know, you sense what I'm talking about when I speak about this weariness, this emotional exhaustion, that lack of motivation, that discontent? Do you recognize it perhaps in yourself or in the people that you know? Well, if you do, here is a great and gracious invitation for you and for them. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. This is Jesus' remedy for people who are feeling weary and burdened. Notice, first of all, the certainty of this remedy that Jesus offers. I will give you rest. Our world is a world, isn't it? Of uncertainties, promises full of ifs and buts. Have you noticed how often that little phrase, definite maybes, is being used today? But not Jesus. I will give you rest. There's no shadow of a doubt there, no suspicion of a maybe. It's certain. And notice the generosity of Jesus' remedy. I will give you rest. He doesn't offer us lectures on meditation or psychotherapy for a fee, things people often do today in search of rest. No, Jesus says, I'll give it to you. He doesn't charge anything. It's free. It's for nothing. And do you notice the egocentricity of what Jesus says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Isn't that an extraordinary claim? After all, if you go to a Christian minister and say, I've got problems, I'm really feeling discontented with life, what does he do? Well, he sends you to God, doesn't he? He tells you to pray about it. And you can hardly imagine him, can you, standing up in public and saying to everybody and anybody, to people, now all you people with problems, all you who are looking fed up with life, you just come to me. I'm the answer. It would be utterly foolish and arrogant, because of course he can't solve their problems. But Jesus stood up in public and said to the masses of people that were surrounding him at this time, in whom he could see the weariness of life, and he said, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. What an extraordinary claim that is. And it marks the Lord Jesus Christ off from every other guru, philosopher, and medic, and whoever else you might go to try and find some answer to this exhaustion of spirit. Jesus does not point to anybody else. He says simply, come to me. But most of all, notice the desirability of this remedy that Jesus offers. I will give you rest. Jesus saw that the reason that we're so burdened, so weary, is because we lack rest. Well, you might say that's pretty obvious, isn't it? But you see, rest for Jesus, who was a Jew, was something very special. He knew that right at the beginning, when God made us human beings, we enjoyed rest. On the seventh day after creation, God rested and shared that rest with us in the Garden of Eden. That's what's in Jesus' mind. And it was wonderful. Nobody felt weary or burdened. Although there was plenty of work to do, nobody was bored, nobody felt a failure, nobody felt their life was futile. There, in fellowship with God, man enjoyed what being a human being was really meant to be, and sharing God's rest was a very important part of it. But then something happened, didn't it? Man sinned. He said to God, I don't want to do what you want me to do today. I want to do what I want to do. I want to choose my own way. And so he did. Man went his own way. And from that day, the relationship that he enjoyed with God was broken. And the result? No more rest. The rest was shattered. And God said to man, from now on, work is going to be a burden to you. Life is going to be a burden to you. There will be no more rest for the wicked. And Jesus knew that this was the root of all this discontent. So it is actually nothing new at all. It may have come to the fore in some ways during the last 100 years, and perhaps in our experience at this time, the last few years. But it's nothing new. Down the centuries, man has always felt rootless and discontent and emotionally exhausted, because the rest he was made to share with God was lost on that day, and man has never found it again since. So what is Jesus saying then? When he, as a Jew who knew his Bible, says, I will give you rest. It is a huge claim when you realize the background to it. What is he saying? Well, he's saying that he came to this earth with a unique power, the power to give us human beings the rest that Adam lost, the rest that comes from being in a right relationship with God and sharing his rest with us. He says he can restore it to us. The Jews expected it. Their Old Testament scriptures promised that one day Messiah would come and be called the Prince of Peace. That is the Prince of Shalom, because he would restore to us the blessings of peace and rest that we lost through the fall, through sin. And Jesus says here, that's me. That's me. I'm the one you're expecting. And that new kingdom the prophets foretold, when the rest of God would be restored to man, I'm bringing it. It's here in me. It's a phenomenal claim. Come to me. Come to me, he says. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So how can we receive this rest from the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he goes on to tell us in verse 29 and 30. Take, he says, my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A yoke, of course, is what they put over an animal's neck for it to draw something along, like a plough. And people who are weary and burdened have a kind of a yoke upon their neck. They feel as if they're carrying a great load on their backs. Now, it's important to notice that Jesus doesn't say if we come to him, we will have no yoke at all on us, that he'll leave us fancy free with no responsibilities and we can do anything we like. No, make no mistake about it. There has to be a yoke. We human beings are made for direction and service. We wouldn't be happy without any yoke on us to tell us which way to go and to give us meaning to our lives. No, the question is, which yoke will we bear? And Jesus invites us to take his yoke on us because he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, why is Jesus' yoke an easy yoke and his burden a light burden? Well, he tells us why. First of all, because of what he, the supplier of this yoke, is like. He says, I am gentle and humble of heart. You know, it ought really not to be a surprise to us that so many people, and let's be honest, some of us as Christians feel like this, that so many people think of Christianity as a tremendous burden. We think of God as someone standing over us with a big whip, and whenever we do anything wrong, flashing that whip across our backs. But that's a distorted picture. It's not the picture that Jesus gives us here, is it? John, in his gospel, tells the story of how on one occasion a woman was taken in the act of adultery, and the religious leaders in Jerusalem brought her to Jesus to see what he would do about it and what he would say about it. Moses' law, they said, commanded she should be stoned to death. That's a pretty heavy yoke, you see. But Jesus said, let the person without any sin among you cast the first stone. And when they had all gone, he said to the woman, I condemn you. I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. That's the gentleness and the tenderness of Jesus' yoke if we come to him. We mustn't think of the yoke he wants to put on us as something severe and burdensome. It isn't. It's forgiving and gentle, just like him, the one who made it, gentle and humble. And it's an easy yoke and a light burden for another reason too, because he shares this yoke with us. Some yokes were made like that in the ancient world. They went across two animals. And Jesus offers to share his yoke with us. Take my yoke, he says, upon you. It's not a yoke that you're going to carry all on your own. I am here carrying it with you, because it is my yoke as well. You see, Jesus Christ doesn't simply offer us a book of rules and regulations and say, there you are, get on with it, obey them. No, of course he does call us to obedience, but he offers us himself to help us. He says, you can share your life with me. And if you share your life with me, taking my yoke upon you and learning from me to go my way and be guided by me, you'll find the rest that you're looking for. Rest for your souls. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that a marvelous promise? Isn't that a promise that you would like to have for yourself in your life? In all the weariness and burden that you may feel in life, which you may feel today, which you may feel tomorrow, wouldn't you like to know that instead of carrying that yoke of meaninglessness and restlessness and discontent and frustration and sin, that you're carrying the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, an easy yoke, a light yoke, a yoke that he's sharing with you every single day. Well, that is the gospel. And that is the invitation, the gracious, amazing invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's an invitation that is wide open for you and for anybody. The people that you know, the people that we meet day by day. For anyone, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. He doesn't mind who it is. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. That means that you and I, that we're included in that amazing invitation. It's very simple, isn't it? Come, he says, to me. But what does Jesus mean when he says, come to me? What does he mean? Let me put it in an illustration to close. Imagine for a moment that you have a new puppy in your house, and you have to try to train this puppy to do things, and one of the first things that you want to train it to do is to come when you call it. Come to me, you say. Now just think for a moment. What's required of a puppy if it's going to obey that command? Well, first of all, it's got to be willing to leave what it's doing. What it's doing at that moment that's taking his mind. And not all puppies, of course, are wanting to do that. Second, it's got to trust you. Puppies won't come to people that they don't trust. If that puppy thinks that you're going to hurt it, every time it gets near to you, it won't come to you. And if we're going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we must first of all be willing to leave what we're doing at this moment. In other words, to leave those things that are the centre of our lives. Let me ask you, what is at the centre of your life right now? What obsesses you? What controls you? Well, if you're going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to be willing to let that go. It has to take second place. It may be a perfectly legitimate thing, but you've got to leave it. Move it from the central place in your life. He has got to come first. Is it your pleasures? Your studies, perhaps? Your career? Your family? Your boyfriend? Girlfriend? Your possessions? I don't know what it is. But whatever has centre stage, we cannot come to the Lord Jesus Christ unless we're willing to leave it, because he insists on occupying the first place in our lives. And leaving those things is exactly what the Bible calls repentance. Did you know that? That's what repentance is. And second, you have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to trust him enough to believe that if you come to him, he will accept you and will fulfill the promises that he makes to you. Come to me, he says, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let's be quiet for a moment and let's pray and think about these great words of the Lord Jesus Christ again. You know, he is amongst us, isn't he? When we meet together, he's here, present amongst us this evening, speaking to us personally by the Holy Spirit. Come, he says to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Almighty and eternal God, we pray that you will write your holy word and that wonderful invitation upon our hearts and minds and consciences. Help us, we pray, today, as you see us here, very different responses perhaps to this invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ, but help us today, each one, to turn from the boredom, the failure, the futility of our lives as they are when they are without you. And grant in your mercy that we may discover the rest which only your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, can give to us when we come to him. We ask this for your glory in his worthy name. Amen. We're going to sing our last hymn together, which is number 472, and we only have three verses to this on the audio, and so it's the third verse that we're going to leave out. We'll omit the third verse of 472, and we'll stand to sing.